Yes. Yeah, because you can get it right here from this.
The sales lot is hopping at Olathe Ford RV in Gardner, Kansas. And among the buyers are Kathy and Grant Lowe, a couple in their 50s.
We bought us a trailer.
We bought us a second home that I think we're going to enjoy. It's everything we want, and we're real happy with it. It's a beautiful unit.
This camper plays an important part in their retirement plans. They intend to have it paid off before they quit working.
Our jobs are very secure and stable. The economy seems to be, you know, on a pretty good rebound right now. So I think, you know, we feel safe that we can buy at this time and not put ourselves, you know, in a debt situation. That you know, we feel good that things are on the uptick with the economy and we're looking good.
The idea of spending your sunset years on the open road, like this couple plans to do, it's pretty dreamy, am I right? Living life, stopping at scenic overlooks to soak in the view, no place to be, no need for an alarm clock. I'm Gina Kaufman, and this time in a person's life has always sounded special to me. But the thought has crossed my mind more than once that with the way young people's careers look these days, Gen Xers and millennials may experience retirement a bit differently from previous generations. Today on KCUR's Central Standard, we're asking what 64 going on 65 might look like in the not-so-distant future. We were inspired by a series called When I'm 64. It's a set of interviews with people who are hitting retirement age right now. Those interviews were conducted by KCUR's Ellie Moxley, who is nowhere near 64. Ellie, how old are you?
I am 27, Gina.
What made you want to do a series profiling Kansas Cityans on the cusp of retirement?
You know, I've been working on a series called Aging in Place for about a year now, on and off. And I think the reason that I wanted to do the series, and it was an idea that I took to our editors here at KCUR, and it was, you know, kind of my own experience with my parents and more specifically their experience with their parents as they started getting older and needing to make some of those kind of end-of-life decisions. And the thing that my parents took away from it was, at the time, I thought, they talked a lot about, you know, how watching their parents get older had made them think more about their own mortality and about the choices they wanted to make when they get to this age. And hopefully they won't hurt me for admitting that they're, you know, they're a little younger than 64. They both turned 60 last year. But they're kind of at that age where they're starting to think about what choices to make. And I think it's a good idea to start thinking about it now because, you know, like you just said, for especially millennials, this generation, I feel like a lot of us are experiencing a career trajectory that's very different, and it's hard to even imagine what, you know, 30 plus years from now will even look like.
Do you expect to be able to retire someday? Is that something you think about at 27?
You know, I think it's one of those things I definitely think, you know, especially if I've taken a couple vacation days or especially if I've taken like a staycation and I'm at home and I'm just kind of, you know, enjoying working on whether it's gardening or quilting or some of these creative projects I like to do, I'm like, man, it'd be nice to have more time to do this. But at the same time, I'm also one of those people that, and I think this is true of every generation, that there are some people who just really like what they do. And I think it's fun to work here at KCUR. It's fun to be a journalist. And it's hard for me to imagine walking away from that, though I'm sure that I'll have less energy to run around and do what I'm doing, you know.
But I guess financially, do you see it as an option?
I do. I think it's possible. I think that there's definitely, I definitely remember when I was 22 and in my first job and making no money whatsoever. I was working nights at a newspaper. I was barely making, like, I was making whatever the federal minimum is that, like, your salary has to be to make you a salaried employee. That's what I was making. And at the time, just nothing seemed possible. But 5 years later, as I've steadily gotten slightly better jobs and gotten jobs that have retirement accounts, I've been able to buy a house and I've been able to start putting back more savings. I think it's possible now.
Let's get some insight from financial planner Alex Petrovic. He's a local financial advisor with Petrovic Services. Hi, Alex.
Good morning. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too. With careers looking like they do these days, perhaps starting later and then typically involving multiple short-term employers rather than one steady job over 30 or 40 years, possibly even a lot of freelance or contract work rather than the kind that comes with a 401k. How do you see the future of retirement for people Ellie's age more broadly?
Well, I think she made some good points, and I'm glad to hear she's as optimistic as she is. A couple of the headwinds, though. First off, she will live longer. So you had the longevity risk, which means you have to have more money.
But I am glad to hear Ellie's going to live longer.
That's good. That's a good news.
I also am glad to hear that, actually.
Yeah, but, I mean, that costs money.
It costs money, right. And number two, one of the things she said was, you know, you're moving from place to place. Sometimes if you get an employer match, you know, you have a vesting schedule. And then if you're contract labor, then you have to do your own retirement. So I think one of the most important things to keep in mind is that corporations and governments are doing less for you in retirement. So if you don't do anything on your own, you don't get the match, so to speak, or maybe you don't get the vesting. So living longer and less support from typical unions, school districts, public employers, and so forth.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, that is a tough one because the idea that people are going to be... The idea that people are going to be, you know, working on their own retirement when, in many cases... They graduated from college and tried to jumpstart something resembling a career during a recession. I mean, I could understand the difficulty they might have expending energy on thoughts about retirement. You have to have a career before you can start planning to retire from one.
Right. So certainly a college education is the best thing, millennials. So that oftentimes we don't think of that as an asset. You know, we think of financial assets, you know, a home, investments, annuities, and 401ks. But your education is huge, and it will be even bigger for people to have education so that they can potentially make more money and then save money.
Do you have clients who are in their 20s?
Yes, we do, and in their 30s. But the problem, and we really try to congratulate them from actually coming in. But there are so many moving parts to plan for retirement that it's really hard to make accurate predictions or projections on where they'll be and how they'll be because there's so many investment returns, job to job, you know, whether they have the benefits or not and so forth, whether they're going to have kids, they plan for education. You know, there's so many moving parts that it's really hard. We just try to get to the basics of, hey, finding the most tax-efficient way to save as much money as you can, get somebody to match it, and knowing that it's on your back, no longer the corporation, entity, or government.
I've heard that some financial we're going to get back, actually, to what some financial advisors are saying. I am hearing that some are telling people under 25 not to be expecting, like, Social Security and things like that. I'm Gina Kaufman. Welcome back to Central Standard on KCUR. We're talking about the future of retirement, inspired by reporter Ellie Moxley's series called When I'm 64. Right now, 64 is kind of like the last beginning, and we're wondering whether it will be that for future generations. Alex Petrovic of Petrovic Services, he's a financial planner, was just telling us... We were just talking about how he advises young people thinking about far into the future for them toward their own retirement. And Alex, do you advise people, as I've heard some financial planners do, that Social Security, they should plan as though it will not be there?
Right. You know, we still think it will be to some extent, but we allow the, you know, the client to tell us whether or not we want to factor those projections in. But if, you know, it would take the government to stop withholding your Social Security FICA taxes, okay, and for it to completely die because there's always going to be younger people that are contributing. So the studies show that even if it's broke, you would have probably, you know, the estimates are 75% of what currently is projected. So, you know, politics aside, I think Social Security is here to stay.
Well, you know, there's the question of whether you can retire, and there's also the question of whether you want to. And Ellie, it seems like in a lot of the conversations you've had, people who are actually reaching retirement age nowadays, a lot of them aren't totally jazzed on, like, as one person put it, watching TV and playing golf.
No, and I think that's really true of a lot of folks. I think that there's kind of maybe a stereotypical idea of what retirement looks like, and I think maybe it still does look like that for some people. But I also feel like this generation that's retiring now, having, you know, kind of lived through the recession, I think a lot of them are having to maybe put aside some of the thoughts they originally had about retirement if, you know, if things happen to their financial interests, you know, in 2008, if their careers remain steady in those last years. And just a lot of people, I think, they worry about being bored. I know I worry about being bored. You know, I think of my own parents. My mom's a retired public school teacher, but my dad, who owns his own business, I don't think any of us expect him to retire. We expect him to cut back. We expect him to spend fewer days at the office and more days doing what he wants. Maybe he'll only work 2 or 3 days a week. But, you know, he wants to keep going, and I think that's true of a lot of people.
Lindsay Baker is here with us, and I want to turn to her on this. She's a gerontologist with UMKC's Consortium on Aging and Community. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
What's the role of work or retirement, whichever the case may be, in a person's own sense of his or her quality of life as people age?
Well, I mean, that depends on the person. So, you know, one thing I would say is, you know, we do have this stereotype that exists of what retirement means to people. And I think the stereotype is you work for your whole life, and at 60, 64, you retire, you get your gold watch, and then the next day you don't work anymore for the rest of your life. You travel, you do whatever. And that is the stereotype that exists. But I would say, you know, for a lot of people, that's not necessarily what they really do. People tend to continue what they've done their entire life. If they volunteer, they volunteer. If they want to continue to work, they work.
What's the history of 64 as the age where this happens?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, throughout most of American history, and in fact, throughout much of the world, even today, this idea of retiring at age 65 or retirement as a distinct phase of the life course really never existed. So people used to kind of phase themselves into what we might call retirement as they began to age and could not handle the job that they did for the rest of their life. So if a person was a farm laborer, they would eventually hit a point in their life where they may not be able to continue that work, but they would go on to kind of phase out of that and maybe do tasks that were a little bit less demanding physically to them.
Quickly, where did the 64 come from? And so, 64 and 65, yeah. Actually retiring 64, you're looking toward it.
Yeah. So what happened with that is, you know, as people started to see that this was a problem and that people didn't have enough money to continue, that's when Social Security began. And because the Social Security age was set up as you could receive full benefits at 65, that's when people really started to think of it as a phase of the life course.
Well, Kansas City Mayor Sly James is 64, and he's one of the voices in the When I'm 64 series we've been talking about. Let's hear what he has to say.
I don't think that I'm actually going to have a retirement. I really don't. I think that I happen to believe that when you stop moving and thinking and working, then you start dying. My biggest worry is that I guess if I was going to be worried about anything, it would probably be physical and mental health, being able to make sure that I'm able to maintain those two things.
So he has that same eager to work attitude, which is, you know, good in a leader, I guess. But he acknowledges the possibility that a body or a mind can give out before you're ready to stop working, that it might not really be your choice. You mentioned farm laborers earlier, that it was over, the career was over when you stopped being able to perform the functions. Mm-hmm. So retirement as an option seems important in that respect.
Yes. Well, I mean, one of the things that we debate about going back to Social Security is, you know, do we just raise this retirement age? Because we do live a lot longer. It makes sense for people to work a lot longer. But the problem, the other flip side of that you see is that the people who rely most heavily on Social Security work in jobs that that are very physically demanding. And they also tend to have a lot of health difficulties. So raising the retirement for those people could be a really huge burden to them.
When you hear the attitude that Sly James just expressed, does it seem to represent a generation to you, like an attitude change, the desire to continue?
I mean, you know, I think that there have always been people that have that attitude, but certainly you do see a lot more people in the baby boom generation who are wanting to continue to work. They are not interested in retiring one day and just sitting at home. And so I think you have seen this huge shift in the way people think about retirement and the way that they're going to live the last years of their life.
Hold that thought. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we'll get back to this conversation about retirement on KCUR's Central Standard in just a few minutes. I'm Gina Kaufman, and you're listening to Central Standard on KCUR. Our conversation today is about the future of retirement, our changing feelings about it, and whether it will even be a thing for future generations. Our guests are financial advisor Alex Petrovic, gerontologist Lindsay Baker, and KCUR's Ellie Moxley, the 27-year-old who took it upon herself to investigate what retirement is like now in Kansas City. Ellie, do you think that your generation, the millennial generation, thinks maybe about the work-life balance differently even before retirement age?
I mean, to some extent, yes. I mean, I think it's really hard because I think there's been a lot written about millennials and what we may or may not look like. I think about
all of you,
my own. I think about my own friends. And I mean, I think about so I've got siblings that all fall in the millennial generation. And I think there's a big difference between people that are 27 and people that are 33 and where they're at in their life. I even think that within my peer group in their late 20s, you know, you have people that have been working, you know, essentially office jobs or kind of professional jobs for, you know, the last 5 years since they've graduated from college. And you also have folks that are, you know, still kind of trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives, whether it's, you know, they haven't necessarily launched what I think most of us would think of as a career yet. So I think it really depends.
Lindsay Baker, as a gerontologist, I am curious about whether you see people's attitudes toward work affecting how that period of life where they may not be working anymore affects them psychologically. I mean, work as identity. Is that something that the generation retiring now really, really wrestles with?
Well, I think that that's something that has been a problem for certain people for a long time, not necessarily just this generation. If your work is your identity and that is what you do, and then one day you suddenly retire with nothing else to do, then there can be a period of time where you go through a lot of psychological problems, maybe depression. It's very difficult to adjust to that. And I think that the thing about the baby boomers is, yes, they are very focused on the career, but they also have a lot of other things that they do. And so I'm not entirely sure that the baby boom generation is going to see that in the same way that previous generations did, whose career was such a focus and so separate from the other parts of their lives.
Do you think that affects people's hopes and expectations out of retirement, like these generational differences in attitudes toward work?
Yeah, I mean, I think for good or for bad, the pattern is going to change quite a bit. And what people are doing and what they want to do is changing, partly because it has to. You know, the work environment is very different and financial environment is very different than what it used to be. But with rising longevity, we also have more choice. We don't have to pack everything into the beginning. We can spread it out. We don't have to look at this changing landscape of retirement as a negative. It could be good. We can take some of that leisure time earlier. It has implications for young families. You know, because we have this longer lifespan, we can take more time when we have children, less time during that time for work, and spread it out over the life course. And that isn't necessarily a bad thing, I think.
Alex Petrovic, as a financial planner, does that sound like a realistic option, given the way financial systems are set up, given the way people's work arrangements tend to be set up?
Well, it's a balancing act. I think that's what really Lindsay's referring to, that there's more options, but it creates, you know, potential pitfalls because you're going to have to balance a lot of moving parts.
What kinds of pitfalls?
Well, he's talking about, you know, moving from different jobs, what benefits they provide or don't provide, how do you provide them if they don't provide them, and that we're seeing corporations provide less all the time, part-time work and so forth. And so I think there, with comes more options, also creates more disappointments, as well as
and more things to figure out.
Yes, and more opportunities as well.
How would you describe the financial goal to your clients? Like, if you're saying, here's your goal financially when you reach, quote unquote, retirement age, whether it's retirement or not, is there a financial goal that you think applies to everyone?
No, it's so individual that, you know, just across the board, much like Ellie was talking about her friends and how they perceive. But we try to think about it more in terms of, with our clients, financial independence, which then gives them the ability to choose what they want to do. So instead of saying, hey, we're working towards retirement, how do we get this nest egg towards retirement? We're thinking now more in, what is it that my goal is to reach money-wise so I can then do whatever I want?
So if some of the historically sort of like traditional ways people prepared for retirement aren't as readily available, quickly, what are some other pathways that people might turn to in order to achieve the goals you're talking about?
Pathways in terms of savings?
Yeah, in terms of being financially in that position, especially people who are in their 20s or 30s right now.
Well, whatever you can do to mitigate tax on your returns is really important. One of the things that we're seeing, too, with younger people, and my son's 39 in the business with me, and he's never really seen a long bull market, even though we've had one recently. You know, it's so close to the disaster of 08-09 that he doesn't think we can see long-term, you know, he's doubtful that we're going to have returns like we did in the past. So
there's a lot of doubt in this generation.
There's a lot of doubt. And the only way really to grow wealth is owning something smart, whether it's stocks or real estate or, you know, a business or so forth. So I think the younger people have to think that they need growth, and you don't get it generally, especially in the environment they're in this low-return environment, both in stocks and bonds and interest rates.
Ellie, are you taking notes?
You know, I think it's always kind of a challenge to figure out kind of what you're doing. I know that one of the things that I always have trouble answering, like when people ask me about retirement, you know, I think a lot of people assume, especially in the Kansas City area where people marry younger, is that, you know, most people will be in a two-income household, and I'm in a single-income household. So that changes your calculations a lot. And I think it sometimes makes it harder when you know that, you know, it's just what you're going to do.
You can hear Ellie's interviews with 64-year-olds in Kansas City at kcur.org/64. I'm Gina Kaufman. When KCUR's Central Standard returns, we'll wrap up this conversation and meet the man behind that Statue of Liberty costume outside the tax place. You know you've wondered. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and we have just a couple minutes left to wrap up our conversation about the future of retirement. Alex Petrovic, financial planner with Petrovic Services, any parting thoughts for us on what's changing about retirement as we know it and how people in their 20s and 30s especially need to think about that stage in life maybe differently than their parents did?
Well, number one, certainly it's more incumbent upon them to plan for their retirement because the government and corporations are doing less for you. So that could be a good thing. And there's been a couple of recent developments that I think that will enable them to do better or at least have more flexibility. And that is, first, the Obama Care, the Affordable Care Act, does provide better options for most people to have medical coverage. And you don't have to worry about where you work necessarily. It gives you more flexibility working on your own or if you have medical issues. And then just here recently, the United States Department of Labor has passed what's called the fiduciary rule, which basically says financial advisors, surprisingly, must start making or giving advice which is in the best interest of clients. And the net of it is it should mean lower fees in your retirement plans.
Lindsay Baker, you're a gerontologist. What are some of the non-financial ways that people should and maybe really, really should prepare for a healthy and happy, possibly even productive retirement?
Well, I think the most important thing to me is to be proactive. And what we need to do is realize that the reality has changed. Our retirement is not going to look the same. And the problem is the structures in our society are set up to deal with retirement the way it was before. So I think the most important thing we can do as citizens, as employees, as citizens, as voters, is we need to demand that those structures are changed to match what our reality is today.
So thinking about the implications, not just for individuals, but society, with people retiring later, is there anything that you think of for society on the whole, with people working longer, perhaps?
Well, I mean, I think there are good aspects to that. The longer people stay active, the healthier they are. So that's always a good thing. Incentivizing people to stay in the workforce longer is going to shoulder up Social Security. So I think that in general, that's a good thing, too.
Lindsay Baker with us from the UMKC's Consortium on Aging and Community. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Alex Petrovic with Petrovic Financial Services. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Any extra resources you'd want to direct people to as we head on out?
Gosh, I'd say the financialplanning.com.
Thank you, Alex.